Good morning. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 20. And we're going to be studying this morning about the account of the John the Beloved. And it's in chapter 20. We will be discovering the revelations of God, the truth, to Apostle John, who is the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. And I will read starting in verse 1. Now the first day of the week, stop right there, that's Sunday. Let us pray first. Oh Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us in a very special way, that you will open our hearts. And let your living word speak to us in a very special way, in a mysterious way, to reveal your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This special Sunday, I have a good news and a bad news for you. The bad news is, Jesus died, buried, crucified on Friday. But the good news is, this Sunday is the Resurrection Sunday that we're going to celebrate. And Jesus is alive. Jesus Christ is risen. And Jesus is alive. You could be able to see there in the booth that you are free to take a pictures later. Important things that we need to remember is when we are going to celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, and especially the Holy Week. The Resurrection Sunday of the Lord Jesus Christ is not an event, but it is the grand event in history, and especially to the history of Christianity. It is the cornerstone of the gospel promise of redemption. Christ is risen. He is risen and dead. Because he lives, we will live as well. That is the foundations of our living hope. It is the very reason why we do come to church on Sunday. Today, we celebrate the resurrections of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us reflect on what motivates us every Lord's Day to come and worship him. Something I just recently know when my Egyptian friend called me and said, you know what? This year's, the Holy Week, is a very special because it coincides with the two calendars, you know, the Alexandrians and the Gregorian calendars. So the Orthodox Christians celebrate the Holy Week using the Alexandrian calendar. And we use the Gregorian calendars. And this year, 2025, it happens at the same week. Not only that, at the same time, the Jews, who has their own calendar, using their Hebrew calendars, the celebrations of the Passover and the unleavened bread happen at the same week as well. So this year's, the celebration of the Holy Week is something special. So my mission for today is to share to you some of the few and convincing biblical evidence that Jesus has risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. So, few evidence. Number one is that the evidence of empty tomb. Number two, the testimonies of the angels. And number three, the testimonies of the eyewitnesses. Please bear with me as we follow along the presentation of Apostle John, and it is in chapter 20. So this account regarding the resurrections of the Lord Jesus Christ is accounted in four Gospels, but I would like to use the presentation of John, because John, who is the beloved of Jesus Christ as an eyewitness, he dedicated almost a half of the Gospel of John on the account, on the detail of starting to the great missions of Jesus Christ in the Holy Week period. So starting in chapter 12, he's starting about the triumphal entry. And up to the end chapter 21, it's about the resurrections of Jesus Christ. So he devoted most of his writing just to present to you and me that Jesus is true. The story about Jesus is true. And this is we're going to discover in chapter 20. Number one, the empty tomb. So it was read. So chapter 20, verse 1 to 10. But I will read here. Let us look carefully. Here's verse 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and he laid and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So first one who discovered that the tomb is empty is that Mary Magdalene. She's a woman, but by God's grace, it was revealed to her first. So Mary saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, and the tomb is empty. Other thing is that he could be able to testify that the tomb is empty. Let's go sideline a little bit. We're going to use the Matthew chapter 28. I'm just going to show you something. Because at this time, the apostles and the women don't know what happened on Saturday. Okay, that on Saturday, the leaders of the Jews has secured the tomb to provide a Roman guards, just to protect the guard. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, so that's Saturday, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead. Jumping to verse 11. Now while they were going, the women were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciple came at night and stole him away while we slept." It means to say that the guards who are guarding the tomb, in order that nobody could steal the body, they fled and went out. They even testifies that the tomb is open, has opened, and the dead body of Jesus is gone. But they tell a lies. Okay. And if you happen to have a Jew, a friend, and you ask him that you are a Christian, they will tell you, they will ask you, "Why do you believe in Jesus?" Because he's still alive. And they will ask you, "Do you believe that?" Okay. Because they don't believe that Jesus is Christ. But not all. Some of the Jews are Christians as well. So, go back to John chapter 20. The other thing is, the tomb is empty. Let's look at this one, verse 6. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples, which is meaning to say it's John, who came to the tomb first, went in also and saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then his disciples went away again to their own home. When they saw that the tomb is empty, it is empty. But why there is still the linen cloth lying in the table? If somebody stole the body of Jesus Christ, what on earth, why they left the linen cloth? Okay. So the evidence that Jesus resurrected from the grave, the tomb is empty. But at the same time, the question is, why the linen cloth is left behind? So in this account, when John saw it, he believed that the tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, but still doubt. So that's why after this one, Peter was saying, scratching his head and saying, "I don't understand what's happening." So instead of saying to testify that the tomb is empty and Jesus rise from the grave, say they go home and still not completely convinced. So we have to say, if that's not enough, there's something else. Now, there's something in these ones that we need to understand something. Here is the one thing that we don't want to miss about the supernatural resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us look for a moment the resurrection of Lazarus. So let's compare. So because there's a comparison and a difference between the resurrection of Lazarus and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, a few weeks before this happened, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The same, almost four days dead, stink. And Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead. Because there's a reason for it. Open your Bibles to John chapter 11. Because it is also John who recorded it. Verse 17 here. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And he said to him, "Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Jumping to verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a grave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." So, in the grave of Lazarus, it was Jesus who commanded that the stone be rolled away in order for Lazarus to come out. In the tomb of Jesus, the stone, when the women came to the tomb, the roll was rolled away in order not for Jesus to come out, but for the women and anyone who would like to verify to see, to come in and see. You see the difference? Let's continue. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench with decaying, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, came forth." And he who has died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." So what happened when Lazarus was resurrected from the grave? It is saying his body is decaying. I'm just going to use your imaginations. Who knows the medical terms here? The biology of the flesh is that your flesh is decaying. And the resurrection here is that it is reviving the flesh. It revives the flesh, right? It revives the flesh and gives life to the body, who is already stench. And that's why when Lazarus came forth, he's still walking this way because it's bound with feet, right? And they say, "Jesus, loose him." But to see the resurrection of Lazarus is that from a dead flesh, to a living flesh. So if you look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that He is his dead body. So Lazarus is a restoration, okay? A restoration miracle. Okay? Jesus' body is that it is a transformation miracle. It's a transformation from a human blessed body to incorruptible body. So because the body just what do you call these ones, passes through the for the grave clothes, okay? Because the grave clothes are still in place, but the body is not there. Is that amazing to know? That, to understand that it is the resurrection of Jesus? So the tomb is empty. Number two. Because if you're just going to defend the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the tomb is empty, they don't believe you. Because even the apostles say, we would like to see Jesus. You see? If he is alive, not in the tomb, where is he? That's the question. Yeah. Go back to John chapter 20. Let's continue reading here in verse 13. That the testimonies of the heavenly angels. Verse 13. We'll read this one. 13. Then this said to her. I will start in verse 11. And Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping, and she wept bitterly. She stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, while the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Verse 14, now when she had said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there and did not saw. Let's just stop right there. It's about the testimony of the heavenly angels. So when Jesus died, so there's a heavenly angel who testifies to Mary that, why are you searching the living among the dead? He is not here. He is alive. And that's the testimony of the angels. But anyway, to verse 14, it happens that Jesus appears to Mary. So here's a let's move on to that. So the testimonies of the angel, the heavenly angels, is that they're trying to testify that the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. They are there to protect. I was thinking, this is an imagination, I was thinking that the angels are there not to take out the body, but the angels was there to protect if somebody's gonna take the grave clothes. How's that? Because that the grave clothes there is a testimony that Jesus' resurrection is a transformation from a fleshly body to an incorruptible body. Number three. The testimonies of the eyewitnesses. So that's part of it. So now, the eyewitnesses is that if Jesus is alive, where is he, right? So let's start in verse 14. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman." So it's a high regards to a lady or a woman. "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is just like it was just a surprise, right? It's a surprise that Jesus is here. Which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." And so she told. So Mary Magdalene is the first who's Jesus, I would say this one. Jesus appeared first to Mary. There's many reasons for that, but that would be dealt in another story. Number two is that Jesus appears to the disciples, because this is the purpose. The purpose is that to encourage the disciples, the believers, that Jesus is alive. To the twelve disciples, okay, less Judas is 11. So in that day, Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, Jesus appeared to the 11, excluding me to say, excluding Thomas. Here's let us look this one. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, that is Sunday, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fears of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And we had said this, she saw them his hands and his sides, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you." Then he said this in breath. So the ten saw Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to them to let them become the eyewitnesses. So after that, they tell Thomas, they say, "We saw the Lord." You see here, verse 24. Now Thomas called, verse 24, the twins, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, so he said, "Thomas, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." I will not believe. Let's jump to verse 26. Continue in verse 26. So, verse 26, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. You see, it's the next Sunday. It's interesting. That's the reason why we come together on Sunday, because of this. Okay? Next Sunday. And Thomas with them, Jesus came, the door being shut again, and stood in them, and in the other accounts, say he just appeared immediately in the midst, okay? And said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and put into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So sometimes some of us, when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we still have the same thinking and feeling. Have you came to believe? No. Still, right? Okay. But that's good if you doubt me to say you have some questions that needs to be answered. Me to say it's growing. I came to know that doubt and unbelief is different. Mean to say you unbelieve, mean to say you know that the account, but you deny it. But doubting is asking a question to discover it. And he said in verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, So the response of Thomas, "My Lord and my God." So what was in the heart of Thomas who came to believe? And see, believing is that we say the statement of my Lord is a very, the economy of words is, how many words is this? It's only 5 words, right? My Lord and my God. But the essence of it comprises the whole essence to believe. Why? Because when you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, you need to see He is the King. He is in charge. If He is in charge, who is Thomas? You need to see He is a servant, a slave. In the bottom lines, in the Greek word, it's actually you are a slave because He is the King. He is the Lord. He is in charge. Then you are the slave. The same thing is my God. It implies that He means to say He is Almighty. He is the God. He is the Creator. Okay, He is the Creator. He is divine. He's in control of everything. To acknowledge that Jesus is God, it is to say, who are we? We are the created being, and we have to come to worship Him. We have, if He is the God, we have one obligation is to worship. Because that's the whole essence of the Bible. I would like you to come in order for you to worship me. Not only that, this is I think it's a powerful verse as well for us. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Because it refers to us. We are not the eyewitnesses of when Jesus, we have not even seen Jesus when He was having a ministry, and especially when He was rose from the grave. Why Jesus is not appearing to us there? Because we have to in order for us to believe what was written, and because of the eyewitnesses of this one. But in a very special way, some of us, you could testimony that you meet the Lord in a spiritual, because Jesus speaks to you in a very mysterious way, to you and me. Okay. So, here's another one. So, let's look at it. You know, this is the writing of Apostle John. So, but what is the testimony? What actually is the testimony of Apostle John? So it's verse 30. I'm going to read this one. Because this is the whole reason why John wrote the gospel. Verse 30, and truly Jesus did many signs. It's say there's still many signs to for us to believe that Jesus is the Christ in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And that is the testimony of John. I'm just going to make that as one of his testimony. And if that is enough, not enough, last and finals, then we will end on this. Okay. How about Peter? What happened to Peter? What is the testimony of Peter? There's also an account in Book of Acts, chapter 2, when Peter's presented about the stories, he made his account in chapter 2 in the Pentecost. That's the preach Jesus. Peter preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're not going to use that one. Let's go to the Book of Peter, because that's another reason why he wrote the Book of Peter. Okay? And it is his, this is the personal testimony of Peter. But because he would like to testify that Jesus, you have to believe this, Jesus is alive. Starting in verse 1, to the pilgrims of the dispersions in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. What is this living hope? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you and me, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while it need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory to the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Because this is the very reason we are saved, because of the work of Jesus Christ. And not only that we believe he saved us, but because we believe on the eternal life on heaven. For these salvations, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesy of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but for us. I mean to say, it was written in the Old Testament 700 years before Christ. They wrote it, but they don't understand it. But now it was revealed to us, because it's not for them, it's for us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into. So may the Lord bless this living word into our hearts and impart it to be able to know the truth. And it's come to worship him today. This is Sunday. And this is the reason why we come into Sunday to worship. Because Jesus rose from the dead, from the grave, on Sunday. This is the good news. This is the good news and the gospel of our Lord. Let us pray.